question. The question is, with such beautiful animals, why are the handlers so unbeautiful? I don't understand it. Can't they hire models like they do at car shows? I mean, when you go to a car show, if you were looking to buy a new car, would you buy a new car from a person who's not particularly attractive, who's extremely overweight, who has ripped stockings, for example? And yet that's what we saw last night at the Westminster Kennel Club dog show. These women are darlings, I'm sure, and their dogs are sort of their life, and they live through the beauty of their animal. I understand all of that. But there's something disconcerting about a kind of not beautiful person running around with a beautiful dog. Anyway, the Presidential Medals of Freedom were very interesting. Obama gave one to G.H.W. Bush. As you know, he gave one to the fake poet Maya Angelou. To me, the real housewives of Beverly Hills are about as real to housewives as is Maya Angelou to real poets. At least that's one man's opinion. And of course, there's many other stories. We warned you that the Muslim Brotherhood would be put into power in Egypt, and of course it hasn't happened overnight. After all, it took a year for the radical Islamists to take over Iran. Well, right now we read that the Muslim Brotherhood, the folks who will give you the laws that you love so much in Berkeley, like cutting your hands off for thievery and things of that nature, the Muslim Brotherhood is forming a political party in Egypt. They have been suppressed and banned since 1954 because they would like to Islamicize the largest Arab nation on earth. This is all a result of the meddling or the overt intervention of George Bush, of Barack Obama. I got them mixed up. You'll have to excuse me, because the oligarchy to me has become a blur, a meddling of Obama and Hillary Clinton. At the same moment, Iran lawmakers, so-called murderous thugs, are calling for the execution of anyone who wants democracy in Iran, and there's only a little tiny peep from Hillary Clinton and less than a burp from President Obama. So that's the state of the world today. There are other stories, madness in the Middle East, going to the dogs, the medals of freedom, plenty to talk about. Let us go now to clip number 6, and we'll talk about the Javanese, the national dog of Cuba.
The Javanese is the national dog of Cuba. His Cuba. High head carriage, top line rising slightly from withers to rump, the rectangular body and plumed tail carried over the back makes the Javanese outline unmistakable. The unique springy gait sets this breed apart from all other breeds. This is Javanese number 22.
Now, of course, Fidel Castro does not have a Javanese. I think most of the Javanese fled to Miami during the Mariel boat invasion. And now, of course, we go to which is the one I really wanted to hear, which is clip 5. Listen to the Chinese crested from China. I love that one.
The Chinese crested was admitted to the toy group in 1991. The breed, however, dates back at least to the early 1500s. They appear to have come from China, although Spanish explorers found them in Mexico and South and Central America. The two types, the hairless and the coated or powder puff, are judged by the same standard, except for the coat. This is Chinese crested number 8.
Go to clip 20 and we'll play the next thing. I'll tell you what, hold off for a minute. Let's do this. Let us go to the clip 7 and then go to clip 18, 7 and 18.
Called the Havana Silk Dog. Belonged to the upper class in Cuba. They were given as gifts to wealthy sugar plantation owners so that they could gain entree into Cuba.
That is a springy little gait, isn't it?
They're a happy little dog. They're smart. They're fun. I know one that's a beautiful therapy dog at the Ronald McDonald House here in New York City.
As a girl, Marguerite Ann Johnson endured trauma and abuse that actually led her to stop speaking. But as a performer and ultimately a writer, a poet, Maya Angelou found her voice. It's a voice that's spoken to millions, including my mother, which is why my sister is named Maya.
Isn't that touching? The favorite poet of the radical left, Maya Angelou. It doesn't matter to me that she's a former prostitute. I don't hold that against her. What I find amazing is that she's a terrible poet and seems to write mocking lyrics about America, and that seems to be why she's favored by Saul Alinsky's servant today, put up with such rubbish, that we're to believe that Maya Angelou was the best poet in America. It's shocking. There's an article on MichaelSavage.com that may attract your attention if you're not interested in any of this stuff. Did you know that the Egyptians raped and beat a CBS reporter? And we're not talking about, what's his name, Anderson Cooper? He had his hair mussed up, and we heard about it for 3 days on CNN. That's right. The Egyptians mussed up Anderson Cooper's hair, and he talked about it for three straight days as though he'd come back from a war zone, while a female reporter was separated from a crew, and she sustained a brutal and sustained sexual assault and beating, not covered by Anderson Cooper, because after all, his hair was more important than her entire being. 1-800-449-8255. We're all over the map today, which is good. We're supposed to be all over the map. Let's talk about kissing, since yesterday was Valentine's Day. I found an interesting article on the smooching science, why men and women kiss differently. And I learned some interesting things of why men kiss differently than women. One thing I learned was that men's saliva contains testosterone. Did you know that? Well, some scientists hypothesized that the practice of kissing evolved from feeding rituals between animal mothers and their young. So although you may think you're being overly romantic, what you're really doing is copying monkey behavior. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Affen means monkey in German, and pincher means terrier. Thus, Affen pincher literally means monkey dog. Small in structure and strong-willed, their shaggy but neat look gives the Affen a unique monkey-like expression and appearance. One of the oldest toy breeds, Affens were used to rid small rodents from the granaries and kitchens, where they eventually became delightful pets. This is Affen pincher, number 8.
Affen pincher. They're so cute, all these little guys. It made me love Teddy again, and we're friends again. Teddy and I are getting along again. They're very touchy dogs. They know when you just don't like to be around them. They feel it. Would you rather I talk about radical Islam? I mean, the perfect day and our terrorist opponents' possible plans for future attacks? Would you like to hear about the red ink since Obama took over Congress, which is greater than all previous deficits combined? You don't want to know about that, do you? Would you like to hear about Obama's budget, which is a budget that a child could create because it's all about using dad's debit card? There are stories that are political, but they're not as much fun as talking about an Affen pincher, to be honest with you, which is why we're talking about Affen pinchers instead of talking about King Ludwig II in the White House right now. Nancy in New York on WOR. What's on your mind, Nancy?
Oh, hello, Michael. I just wanted to say I totally agree with you, and I'd much rather be talking about nice dogs, too. I used to think that the dog handlers were dorky, but
yeah.
Now I think they're kind of endearing.
You mean. In a way, they're refreshing compared to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which we talked about yesterday, the synthetic women, the mannish, the post-op transvestite look.
Yes, exactly. I would much
right. In other words, like, so what that they're a little overweight? No, but some of them had ripped stockings, I guess. I don't mind that they're a little pudgy, but couldn't they wear better outfits? One poor woman had a ripped, you know, like, you're looking at the dog running, right? And the camera's at the dog's height. And the poor woman had torn stockings.
Well, then I agree with you. I didn't see the torn stockings, but since they're handling such beautiful creatures, yes.
Yeah, and it is. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. Who gets so involved with show dogs, but people who want to reflect their own lack of beauty through an animal, and in plain English. Think about it. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember in my book, who used to come into my father's antique store, half man, half woman. Remember I talked about him? That his house, we went to his house once to make a delivery in Long Beach, and we could hardly get through the door. It was filled with beautiful statues and paintings. He bought them and just put them randomly in his house, nature, that he needed to buy art objects that were reflections of the beauty that he didn't have in his own physical being. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. It's a very beautiful reflection on human
It is, nature. And there's, I mean, you know, that's what makes the world go round. I mean, why do people seek beauty in art? Some of them because they have beauty inside, but they're not blessed with beauty on the outside. There's, you know, it's not always that way, but sometimes you can see that connection.
I do. And, Michael, I appreciate all that you do, and I love listening to you, and thank you very
much.
But
would you rather that I not talk about dogs and talk about the terrorist opponent's plans for America and how the intelligence community has no intelligence. The breakdown we just had from Panetta of the CIA and the so-called boss, Mr. Clapper. Can you believe these people? Why are we? What is going on that we permit Obama to appoint such doofuses who don't get anything right? It's worse than Peter Sellers in the Pink Panther.
No, it's horrifying, Michael. I can't believe that so many people who are supposedly so educated are so stupid.
Can you believe that the Muslim Brotherhood, which appears now to not only having a seat at the table in Cairo, which we warned about last week, they may actually introduce Sharia law, which is the goal of a worldwide caliphate, and that head, the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said last week that this violent pro-jihad Muslim Brotherhood is largely secular and has eschewed violence. How could he keep his job the next day? How does the man keep his job? Who put him there? Well, the answer, you see, then you start to go into, is Obama purposely doing this so that the jihadists gain a seat at the world table? Now, this is a debate that's going on under the surface. Is Obama really a stealth operative of the radicals, or is he just basically a naive idealist, or neither of the above? Now, there are quisling conservatives, notably a man named Medved, who wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday attacking any conservative who attacks Obama and saying that Obama's a wonderful guy and that we should all just get along. There are many such quislings appearing now in the conservative media. Are you aware of this, folks? You want to talk about the quislings in the conservative movement who are now all over the other side of the map and pretending to still hold their conservative credentials? Do you understand what's going on in this country under Obama the Destroyer? As I described him, he is like an intelligent child, or shall I say a not-so-intelligent child, who takes apart a fine watch and doesn't know how to put it together again. And America, of course, is the fine watch. Mitch in Idaho, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, thank you, sir. Yeah, I was back on the dog thing. Yeah. I didn't get to see that, but did you, what do you think of Jack Russell Terriers and Shih Tzus and the Bulldog?
Oh, they're just darling. You know, how many dogs can you own, you know, at one time? They're amazing animals. Which is the dog that lives on boats that chases rats off boats? Is that the Jack Russell Terrier?
I think it's one of them.
Yeah, because I remember when I lived in a yacht harbor once, a guy had one, and he said this dog was developed to chase rats off boats. I said, well, he ought to begin with you, because he and I never got along. But, okay, that didn't go over very well in the yacht harbor. I soon left thereafter. They're wonderful little creatures. Well, I have a toy poodle, so I like little dogs. But the fact of the matter is, who does not love a big, protective dog? A monster like a Mastiff or some of the Italian breeds that were bred for killing. Who wouldn't like one of those? It's just, you know, handling them. You know, how do you take care of an animal that size unless you have a farm?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, we used to.
I mean, I would love to have those Italian breeds, the big breeds. What are they called? There's an Italian breed that's fantastic. They were used by the Roman legions for killing men in battle. Wouldn't it be great to have six of those, like in The Godfather, in cages? That when you know, when someone is on your property that you don't like, you press a button, the lights go on, and you release the dogs, and the dogs run out and tear them to pieces. I mean, that would be nice. You know, that would be nice to have. Chicago, Arlene, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, the handlers at the dog show are deliberately very plainly dressed and simple because they never want to take away from the dog.
So it's not like JonBenet Ramsey's mother
in that regard,
who was competing with her own daughter. May she rest in peace. Just like a lot of the mothers who put their daughters into these beauty contests are fundamentally competing with their own daughters while using them like toys and like puppets. That's a whole separate story. We know how pathetic that is. I think the child beauty contest should be banned until a child is at least 14 years of age, the legal limit in Denmark and Berkeley.
Savage.
The aristocratic Japanese Chin is one of the oldest of all toy breeds. In 1853, Commodore Perry brought several back with him from his historic visit to Japan. By the end of the 19th century, a good many were being seen in dog shows in this country. It is a true companion animal of antiquity, style, tradition, and class. This is Japanese Chin, number 5.
You can see that face. The standard says they're supposed to have a distinctive oriental expression.
Ooh.
One of my Japanese Chin friends said they are quiet, affectionate gremlins.
See, there's a lot of history involved in all of these shows. They're very, very intellectually attractive if you study the breeds. And speaking of breeds and the lack of breeding, I noticed something that's very interesting to me is that in San Francisco, mainly Caucasian women, this is shocking, I swear to God, are walking around pushing baby carriages with dogs in them. It's that you do not see other races doing this at all. I have never seen any other race doing this but the poor white women of San Francisco, for obvious reasons, which is that the men are wimps, the men won't marry, the men are not willing to be fathers, the men are just not willing to be men, and the poor women who have maternal instincts, I guess you can still say maternal instinct without getting arrested, the women have maternal instincts, they're in their 30s, they're buying baby carriages, and they're pushing dogs around in the carriages. Now, I remember when I was a little boy in the Bronx, the mothers would push their carriages around, and they'd stop, and they'd chat on the street, and they would compare their babies. You know, oh, how beautiful your baby. Oh, your daughter's gorgeous, and what a nice outfit. And they would, you know, this is how society went on, as it does in most parts of the world that are still civilized and viable. But San Francisco being the antithesis of survival for a society, it's the opposite. These are people who think that they're at the tip of civilization, the tip of society. They're actually the opposite. They're the antithesis of life. And it's sad. It's not anything to mock. It's just something to observe, which are young white women pushing baby carriages around with dogs in them. Now, by comparison, if I go to a mall and I see dogs in the carriage, it's an upside-down society. It could be fixed. It could be fixed, and I've tried to point out how to do it with tax advantages for married families, great tax advantages for each child that you have, and advantages to the couple that stays together where each year you get a tax advantage that you're still married. But you got to understand something. If you read Marx, as I did years ago, I read Karl Marx when I was 18, long before he was discussed on commercial talk radio. I had read Karl Marx's Das Kapital, and I learned that one of the tenets of Marxism was to destroy the, quote, bourgeois family. You get it? Anyway, so it's a little on the topic, off the topic, on the topic, off the topic. But think about the image I just threw before you. We're talking about the Westminster Kennel Club dog show, which I loved watching last night. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's so well presented. And the announcer is great. Great announcers. Terrific voice. Great sound system. And you can learn a little bit about history by studying these breeds, as we just did with the Japanese Chin, for example. But you can also learn about the lack of breeding when you see poor white women in their 30s in San Francisco pushing baby carriages, not with human babies in them, but with dogs. I don't mock the women. I pity them. But they don't know what to do with their maternal instinct because the men in San Francisco are settled down. And I guess it's a product of the women's revolution. It's a product of sexual liberation. And men don't need to get married if they just want sex. And most men basically just want sex. Now, there are men who want families and fathers, and I know a few of them. In fact, I know 3 men in their late 30s, 40s who are wonderful fathers. They've been married 5, 10 years. They have children. And they wanted families. They knew what they wanted. But they're the rare, rare exception, you know? New York, Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
About women in San Francisco pushing around dogs. I've noticed a trend here in Manhattan for a number of years now. They walk around. I've seen them wearing and pushing them in strollers. I've seen them wearing Huggies. I've seen certain types of men doing the same thing. Wearing dogs and Huggies. It's absolutely
mind-boggling. Mike, isn't it a sad thing to see? Isn't it the sign of the death of a civilization? This is not the sign of a healthy society. It's a sign of a dying society.
It's incredible. You know, these dogs have taken the place of the giant water bottles that women used to walk around as though they were...
Oh, that's funny. That's funny, the giant water bottles. Right, I get that analogy. That's pretty good. But, you know, you can't blame the women because the men won't get married.
Hey, I go to the West Side, and I'm like the toughest guy in town because it's like this liberal bastion there, and I walk around, hey, you know, and it's incredible. The men in this city have become so...
Yeah, the phrase was metrosexual. I have another phrase for it, but there's no point in using it. There's no point in putting anyone down. I mean, what you got to do is just look at what's going on in society and comment on it if you're a commentator. I may not be the first, but I certainly won't be the last to talk about white women breeding themselves out of existence by pushing around baby carriages with dogs in them. And here I am, a dog owner and a dog lover, talking about dogs. But there's a limit. There's a limit to it. You don't see that in Cairo, do you? Would you see a Muslim woman pushing a carriage around with a dog in it? Are you kidding me? I mean, think about it. Let's just do the demographics, if you'd like. Would you like to do the demographics on it? The demographics, on one side, we have white women, Caucasian women, pushing around carriages with dogs in them. And now look, put any other race next to them with babies and tell me which race is around in 50 years. That's all. The end of the story. The Marxists don't want the bourgeois family. So that's the end of that story. That's all. Glad I had children. And don't think it was easy. It's never been easy being a father. For those of you out there who are thinking about whether it's worth it, tell me what else there is. Tell me what else there is. What, you're going to be a Don Juan the rest of your life with Viagra and a hair transplant? There's no other, I don't know how to put it. First of all, children are not for everyone. There are people who are not fit to be fathers or mothers, so let's start with that. No, not everyone should have a child. Let's begin with that. But now, having put the obvious aside, tell me what other reason there is to live that's better. Sure, I'm a creative man. I've written many books and I've done many things. But they're not mutually exclusive. You can be an artist and also be a father. Tell me what's more creative than being a father. There's nothing like it in the world. And yet, when have you last heard a politician or a social figure talk about the beauties of being a father? Like, never. Have you last heard a guy like Sean Penn talk about how the wonders of being a father? Most of these guys are fathers, or some of them are, but they never talk about fatherhood. And it's very sad when you consider such creativity in these men, and they never got married, they never had children. There are some wonderful actors out there, talented men, who never had either the fortune or the ability to have a child because they're very narcissistic, they're infantile, they constantly need the attention of a woman because they are infants inside, and they're not capable of being a father. But their gene pool is dead. It died with them. I can name five actors who I think are good people, talented people, but they don't have babies. And the fact is that their gene pool is now dead. Think about that one. You know what I'm saying? It's an interesting tangent from the dog show. Do you understand where I've gone with this? Have you followed my mind on this? It's not a bad show when you think about it, you know. I mean, if you think about how my mind works, how I've gone from the Westminster Kennel Club and dogs to women with babies in a baby carriage. It's not bad for a guy with a hangover, I got to tell you that. Because I had a Valentine's Day dinner last night, and I went to white wine, which I haven't had in months and months. I normally drink beer, I never get a hangover. And I went back to one of my favorite white wines. I drank too much of it. Oh, did I feel good. I felt like I could conquer the world on the way out of the restaurant. I did. I didn't feel 6 feet tall. I felt 16 feet tall. But, you know, I get loving when I drink. I actually, you know, feel better. I like everybody more. But 2 o'clock in the morning, my God. It's like, why did I do this to my brain? Like, brain to Michael. Don't ever drink that white wine again. Michael to brain. I won't. I promise you. I won't. Okay, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to Chicago. Bob on WIND. What's on your mind, Bob?
Mr. Savage, I am a 40-year-old man, divorced father of three. My ex-wife left me because I was too manly and too controlling for the assistant pastor of the church that we were going to.
Oh.
Men are demasculated.
Yes. Absolutely. This is part of the women's movement. Was to destroy the whole concept of fatherhood.
Every commercial that you see on TV, every program.
Oh, what, the wimpy man, the wimpy useless man? You want to throw a brick through the TV screen?
Yeah, they make men look stupid. They can't handle their children. They make them look stupid in the kitchen. They make them look stupid doing.
Right. Men are weak. Men are stupid. Men are useless. All you need is a turkey baster.
And not to mention the court system. Oh, my God. Throw it out the window.
Yes, the court system is now totally perverted in order to destroy the father. To rape him, to ruin him, and to jail him. Correct. All a product of the very same Betty Friedan movement I've been talking about. What Bella Abzug and Betty Friedan did to this country is incalculable, the damage to this country, what those women did to this country, because of their hatred for men. God only knows what their fathers had done to them. All right, look, this is an interesting topic, all from dogs. So to lighten it up, look, I know that some of you are sitting out there and you're frustrated because I'm not, you know, really angry and, you know, I'm not headbanging right now on the Savage Nation. And you're thinking, oh, I don't know what's wrong with that Savage. He's not angry enough anymore. What's happened to him? How come he doesn't get angry anymore and attack? Why is he going on and on about yesterday Housewives of Beverly Hills and doing fun stuff? Why doesn't he give us some red meat and attack some groups? Attack some groups for us. We need some red meat, Mike. I'm depressed. I need your anger. I need your rage, Mike, to boost me. Where's your rage, Mike? I need to be boosted up by your anger. I need my adrenaline. Trust me, I can feel it. I understand what my audience thinks. I mean, it's almost like a psychic ability. In order to do radio, as long as I've done it as successfully as I have in the creative way I do it. Now, listen, there are others who have done it longer than me, but they're not that creative. It's the same old every day. You know, Republicans good, Democrats bad, bash, bash, bash. I can do it, and there's a good reason to do it. But I don't want to do it every day, so I have to go into the other aspects of my being and come up with some things that interest me occasionally, like dogs, science, poetry, art, literature, paintings, you name it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of a tremendous world out there outside of Republican bashing. I mean, outside of the Democrat bashing, and Obama is a Marxist, because it's all true. They are destroying the country. He is putting an Islamist regime into Egypt. It was by design. It was George Soros and Brzezinski. Yes, I told you about it. And now what? That's why I'd rather talk about, dogs for a while. So let's take a break. And no, not a break, guys. Don't go to a break. Let's go to clip 10. Let's hear this one.
Papillon is French for butterfly, and the ears of this elegant toy dog do resemble wings. Originally from Spain or Italy, this breed was favored by the French monarchy in the 16 and 1700s. This royal spaniel comes in two varieties. The Papillon has erect ears, and the Feline, French for moth, has drop ears. This is Papillon, number 22.
Papillon. Remember the movie Papillon with Dustin Hoffman? He wasn't bad in it, truthfully. Remember when he played? He wasn't bad in that movie. I'm by the worst actor ever. You know, ever since he did Ratso Rizzo, I've lost interest in Dustin Hoffman. You know, I'm walking here. That was his best shining role. I'm walking here. But ever since then, all he's done is like left-wing goofball movies. Him and that other character from L.A. Who's the other one who makes me crazy? Who was the guy I can't... What's his name? Come on, guys. You know who I'm talking about. You gave me sound from the other day. Okay, you don't know who I'm talking about. You know who I mean. Not Richard Gere. He doesn't even enter my mind. There's a guy who always plays like a left-wing commie lawyer in the movies. You know who I'm talking about. All right, you don't. Yes, Richard Dreyfuss, the worst actor in the world next to that's all they play, are left-wing fanatics. They're rich beyond God. They made all their money in America, and they hate the country. How do you figure that? How does that work? Can anyone ever figure that out? All their money was made in the greatest nation on earth. Their ancestors fled the Tsar of Russia and kissed the ground when they got here, and they produced grandsons who hate the country. Can anyone explain that to me? How they became radicalized and anti-American. I don't understand how that works. The grandfather ran from Russia, ran from the Tsar, ran from anti-Semitism, and the grandson winds up a through and through red pinko America-hating rat of the lowest order. I'll be right back. Think about it. In China now, the younger people who are making money are, you know, they're into dogs. The country people, the peasants, eat them. They breed them in cages, beat them to death, and eat them. I saw pictures of Saint Bernards being bred in China, in the country, and beaten to death with clubs and then eaten. Yes, it's an amazing world. Let's hear it for education. It's not all bad, you know. You know, I mean, let's hear it for a little modernization in ancient China. You know, I could do without the peasants in the countryside beating dogs to death and eating them. Speaking of eating, you know what I had for lunch today? Alginate. I had to go to the dentist again for an impression, for like a mouth guard, so the tooth he put in, I don't grind it up in the middle of the night. Oh, God. You ever had alginate for lunch? I never eat sweets. I try never to eat them. I ran from there to like a coffee shop and bought an oatmeal cookie just to get that disgusting taste of brown algae out of my mouth. Thank God. I mean, it was awful. Linear copolymer with homopolymeric blocks. I mean, if you look at the structure of the algae, the giant kelp, Macrocystis pyrifera. Great lunch. I don't recommend it. All I'm thinking about tonight is just wiping it out altogether is some Chinese food with some hot sauce. There I go again. Again, Chinese food. No matter what I say to myself, I wind up back with the calamari, the shrimp, and you know what I'm saying? I talk myself into it. It's hard to break habits. I got to tell you the truth. But you got to admit, after a lunch of algae for a dental impression, I had to use self-hypnosis. The guy said it'll only be about 60 seconds when they put it in your mouth. It's a good thing I know how to, like, I count. It's funny. Like, you know, want to hear a trick during dental work? It's a form of self-hypnosis. Let's say they put that metal bite in your mouth with the algae in it, and you got to get a dental impression or whatever they're doing. And you know it's going to last about a minute. You got to do something with your hands or your fingers and put your mind on your hands or your fingers while you're, like, he's counting to 60 till it forms. I'm doing, like, really weird things. Like, I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with my right hand, my left hand. Then I'm doing 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And then I count the right hand three times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. Then I vary it. Then I go to the left hand and I count to 10 or 12 on the left hand. And I count to 14 on the right hand. Then I add them in my head. Meanwhile, I'm moving my fingers at the same time. Or I'm opening and closing my fingers. I mean, dentists must think I'm spastic and insane. This is the only way I could do it without gagging and spitting the whole thing out and running out of there, to be honest with you. That's why I'm talking about dogs today. I don't eat them. I just love them. I mean, you can love something without eating it. So now let's play the Shih Tzu, clip 11 on the Savage Nation.
The Shih Tzu was originally developed in China's imperial courts by crossing ancient Chinese and Tibetan breeds. Later, the Shih Tzu flourished in England and has now become quite popular in the States. While a show dog wears the long flowing coat that you see here, family pets look charming and are easier to maintain in a variety of short clips. This is Shih Tzu, number 14.
Don't like them. I don't like the long coats. They're hard to care for and they shed. One thing about a poodle is that they don't shed. And if you're allergic to pets, I'm allergic to cats. My throat closes up. I can't breathe after like a minute. Teddy doesn't shed. Poodles have an amazing coat. It's like hair, not fur. He's look great. I mean, it's great if you have allergies to have a poodle for that reason, especially these little guys, these 10-pounders. But I'm not into, like, the long, flowing coat dogs. They're too much trouble, the Shih Tzu. Did I tell you the time I met a drug dealer? He said he was on an airplane. In the years when I was flying around a lot, I was on a plane to London once when I was still allowed to go there, long before I was in radio. It was a 10-hour flight. I had nothing to do. I was walking around the airplane when you were still allowed to walk around airplanes. And some guy, I don't know, you know, nice-looking white guy starts talking to me. He was probably high. And he starts telling me he's a drug dealer. I said, great, nice to meet you. And he says to me, oh, the best dogs for defending you in a house are not big dogs, but little dogs. That's why the Chinese use them in their imperial chambers. If you have 15 of them, he said, think about it. You break into a house, he starts, what? He said, and 15 dogs run at you and attack you. You can't shoot them because you don't know which direction they're coming at you from. Whereas a big 200-pound dog, you can easily kill like a man. I said, thanks for sharing. I'll be right back.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
see happening in Iran today is a testament to the courage of the Iranian people and an indictment of the hypocrisy of the Iranian regime, a regime which, over the last 3 weeks, has constantly hailed what went on in Egypt. And now, when given the opportunity to afford their people the same rights as they called for on behalf of the Egyptian people, once again, illustrate their true nature.
These glamorous little dogs were bred strictly as companions and historically known as comforter spaniels, favorites in the court of English royalty. They were first brought to the U.S. in 1952 and were recognized by the AKC in 1996. They are ideal, gentle family pets, happy and eager to please. This is Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, number 12.
And, of course, it's the Savage Nation doing a mix of politics and the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, because, as you know, you can see the world through a dog, and, of course, you can see a dog through the world. Welcome to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What the United States should do is help the protesters in Iran, not just pay kind of poodle-like lip service to the attempts on their part to be free of the mullahs. But I don't expect anything from this administration other than negative, negative, negative. And, of course, as we predicted on the Savage Nation, even though we were roundly criticized by the vermin on the left, the Muslim bros are part of now the political group that is going to take over Egypt. And wait until you see what happens then. Of course, you'll hear nothing from Anderson Blooper and from Shep Smith. Once the Muslim bros are in power, they'll make believe they had nothing to do with it. And, of course, there's the sad and tragic story of Anderson Cooper talking about his hair being messed up by Egyptian mobs while an actual rape was occurring on a CBS News reporter who was sexually beaten and assaulted by the gang in Cairo. All we heard about was Anderson Cooper's hair being messed up. This is an example of the sad state of the American media. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're also talking about dogs and America going to the dogs, as exemplified by primarily white women pushing carriages around, baby carriages, without human babies in them, but with dogs in them, in San Francisco and New York and other areas where men are no longer men and where men are no longer, let us say, able to be fathers. They're not willing to be fathers. They don't have the guts to be a father. They have no desire to be a father, and nor do they have a reason to be a father. They know that the women are available to them sexually, so they figure, what do I need to be a father for? Well, they don't understand that there's more to being married than just having sex available to you. It's about raising a family. And you say, well, what's the big deal about raising a family? Well, the answer is, if your father didn't do it, you wouldn't be here. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you? In other words, if your father didn't do it, you wouldn't be here. That's all. So now project ahead if you're capable of independent thought and see what's coming tomorrow. Of course, you probably don't care about what's coming tomorrow if you're an average American white male, because you were taught not to care about tomorrow, nor not to care about the survival of the species, nor to care about society. You were taught to live only for your own impulses. And that is why you see white women with baby carriages with dogs in them, a sad sight, and rarely any other race, incidentally. By the way, true story. Take it any way you want. It's the Savage Nation. And now I'll take your calls right here on the Savage Nation. Chicago, Paul, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Paul?
Hey, I just wanted to say that the devaluation of fathers and fatherhood can be laid right at the doorstep of liberalism. If you look at the Great Society, the whole idea there was to make government the daddy and replace...
Correct. Johnson replaced the father, primarily in poor minority families, replaced the father by the government. Destroyed, like with a scythe, millions of black families. Destroyed black businesses across America by replacing it with the welfare state. This is well documented. It's not made up on the fly by Michael Savage. Thank you for the... Yeah, go ahead. Anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I was just going to say also the feminist movement, which is really just liberalism in a pantsuit, which...
The feminist movement was about destroying the male, making the male irrelevant. You look at the ads, the ad agencies are all given to making all men look like fools of any race. It's really shocking to think that anyone would buy a product where the man is debased to such an extent. The woman is always in charge. The woman is always smarter. The woman has to save the kitchen fire that the man caused. You name it. Who makes this garbage up? What company would buy an ad like that? All of them. The answer is all of them. Why? Because 24-year-old girls and metrosexual men are running the ed agency departments or the ed departments of companies. So you see, it's a constant devolution of a society. So there it is. We know this, but why complain about it? That's why I'd rather play the sound bites from the Westminster talk, dog show and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sounding basically like a shih tzu when she puts out such a meek call for the Iranian government to permit democracy to reign. I mean, you know it's just lip service. This government has all the power in the world. They could do something to help the Iranian protesters. By the way, where are the cameras? Where are the Twitterers? Where are the cell phone images that we saw endlessly in Egypt? How come we're not seeing them coming out of Iran? They have cell phones in Iran, don't they? How come ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and CNN are not running the pictures? How come the brave men of CNN are not over there with the Iranians in solidarity with them? Remember that? We're in solidarity with the protesters in Egypt. Solidarity, my behind. They were not in solidarity with anything but their own ratings. And that's why Mubarak had to go by Friday night at midnight. They told him that Anderson Cooper had to get on a plane to be back in time for the Grammys, that he had until midnight to finish up and get out of there. And unless he was out by then, all hell would break loose. You know what I'm saying? So they told him when he had to leave in order to get back to cover the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's talk about dogs and the dogs of the media, the running dogs of the leftist media. If you'd like to, otherwise there are other topics. You want to talk about family? How come men aren't getting married? How about let's talk about that? Why white men are not getting married? Why are white men afraid of women? Why are white men are cowards and won't become a father? You want to talk about that or show dogs? Because men have become nothing but pocketbooks to many women today. They're like pocketbooks. They're like a, I can't explain it, like an accessory. It goes both ways, that's all. Oh, look, I made my point, that's all. Why beat it to death? Robert in New York on WR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Doc. Hope all's well. I've two questions for you. First is, I admit at times I watch some of the dog shows, and I have a dog that I got from a shelter. It turns out he's a Belgian Shepherd.
Right.
And I find myself rooting for him. Like a Yankees fan roots for the
Yankees. Other words, because you have the breed, you want that breed to win. It's interesting.
Well, I guess it's a human condition, you know. I know
yes, of course.
Guy.
Right.
I want his brothers to...
It's like go team go.
Yeah, exactly.
See, but I don't root for the poodles because I hate the poodle haircut. I think it's a disgrace what they do to the dog. My dog doesn't have a haircut at all. Teddy has the normal fur. He looks like a little bear. Or like a little lion. People stop and they stare at him. They say he looks like a little miniature lion. But if you look at the way they butcher the poodle with those absurd 17th century French so-called aristocratic haircuts, it's nauseating, making the animal bald on one side and puffed out on another side. I don't find that hairdo very attractive in a poodle. I think it diminishes the animal and turns it into an ugly creature.
I don't want to upset any atheists, but didn't, for lack of a better phrase, didn't God make them the way they should be? They don't need a fancy haircut. They don't need, you know, that.
No, they need to be kept clean and brushed, and that's all. I mean, but look, people can do what they want with their own hair, so why can't they do it with a dog? Take a look at some of the haircuts of men walking around in Manhattan. Take a look at what they would. I don't know, what's the hairdo today for men? What's the bald look all of a sudden? When men have thinning hair now, the strategy is to cut all your hair off. Isn't that interesting, Robert? Why is that suddenly a trend?
You know,
let's say a man's hair is thinning. Instead of making the most of what you have and letting it grow longer, they cut it off altogether. And there's a theory that the man looks more virile with no hair. How did that arrive on the scene?
Probably
the baldy look. I don't understand that one myself. I truly can't figure that one out. I thought more hair is better, but all right, to each his own. 1-800-449-825. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Adam, you're on the Savage Nation. Let's talk about Iran. Go ahead.
Yeah, your comment before about, you know, how the journalists were all over in Egypt, you know, where it was
yeah.
safe, and, you know, everybody was saying how they're getting rough.
Oh, yeah, they linked arms with the protesters. We shall over. They acted like, you know, with the vest, the photographer vest, like they were in a real danger. But I don't see any of them in Iran, do you?
Well, I think the main issue is they're just scared. I think they just don't want to go over there and get arrested for
But I
hair.
Thought they were so brave in Egypt. After all, Anderson Cooper's hair was messed up. Look at what he faced over there.
Exactly. I think they just want to go over
there. I mean, they messed up a very expensive hairdo.
Yeah. I think they're just journalists aren't what they used to be. I mean, the media, they're just not doing their job. A journalist would go out there.
Well, let's put aside the media. Why are we not seeing any cell phone images coming out of the Iranian protests? What's going on there? Does anyone have an answer to that? Why is there no footage coming out of Iran? We know that the media is afraid to go over there. They're only going to go to a soft target, but and give cameras to the protesters and make them look peaceful, when in fact they robbed the King Tut Museum itself. They smashed into museums. You saw almost no footage of that because they wanted to make it look like it was a peaceful revolution when it wasn't. They wrecked Cairo. They destroyed the infrastructure of Cairo, but the vermin in the media didn't want you to see it. The same way the vermin in the media didn't show you what Bill Clinton did to every bridge across the Danube. You know, this story irks me to this day. It's over 10 years later. But while Bill Clinton was committing a war crime and bombing Serbia, and he used U.S. Air Force planes, which are repainted in Europe with NATO markings so that the socialist Hagia Solana could destroy Serbia, did you know that U.S. Air Force planes were used to destroy every bridge over the Danube River, and not one image was ever transmitted by the American or by European media showing the devastation that was conducted by the U.S. military with NATO markings by Bill Clinton, who committed war crimes? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Most popular breeds of all times, the toy poodle is a bred down version of the standard poodle by way of the miniature.
Go from
the standards of all three sizes are the same except for height. The toy must be 10 inches or less. As a true companion, this little dog has everything from assertive personality to high style. This is toy poodle number 39.
Well, don't let this haircut fool you. I say that all the time with poodles, but a fun loving functional athletic dog. Poodles come in three sizes, one to fit everybody. This is the toy.
We do have to change our attitudes. We have to be better to the Palestinians, be more fair in the Middle East. I mean, our reputation is not great in the Arab world or North Africa. We've not always been on God's side.
There is the toy poodle, Helen Thomas, attacking Jews in the United States again. Thank God she is no longer in the world of the midstream media. She's now marginalized where she always was. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're doing politics and dogs today in the Savage Nation. More interested in the dogs I am than in politics at this time, but there's an overlap, as you could see. And when you see white girls in San Francisco walking around with baby carriages and there's no baby in there but a dog, you know that this society is doomed. It's sad. I mean, I don't look at it and laugh at the women. I look at it almost, I don't know what to do. The girls are so desperate. Their maternal instincts are screaming out for a baby. And the men are not here. The men are busy twittering, bicycle riding. Whatever men do, they're just not wanting to get married. And so, you know, how do you fix a thing like this? How do you fix a thing like this? Well, a society has a lot of power. A government has tremendous power. The government did this to the nuclear family. It's been a 30-year plan to destroy the nuclear family. It was popularized by the women's movement. It was pushed forward by other Marxist sources in this country. And now we've reached the point of white women pushing baby carriages with dogs in them. A sick society can be seen wherever you look, whether it be The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills as a popular show, or women pushing dogs in baby carriages. A society can fix itself. All we need are leadership, family values talked about again. But how long has it been since you've heard the word family values? The Republicans are running from the word family values. They wouldn't want anything to do with it. See, they want the big tent. So they feel that families, well, they got the families, they figure. And they figure they don't need you, really, because you'll vote for them anyway, because you're not going to vote for the other side. They're going to make the same mistake they've made over and over and over again. Remember, the town hall meetings and the tea parties were spontaneous. They arose from the people themselves. They were an outcry, an attempt, and a disorganized, not disorganized, but a not organized from the top expression of what needed to be done to save this country. And don't think they haven't had an effect. We threw 100 communists out, but look what we got as a result. We have the K Street gang and the Republican Party, by and large, back in power again. And what they're doing is a disgrace. They've co-opted the entire movement that put them back in power. They're ignoring them, and they're spitting on them. John Boehner is not a leader that you would look up to say, okay, we're going to roll up our sleeves and take this country back from the communist slime that have destroyed it. He's doing it in half-hearted ways in order to appease the people that put him in power, and that's not what we need. We need a revolutionary on the Republican side, and I don't see one. There are such people who are worthy of following in this country. Some of them are congressmen. I don't see many senators. There are a few I respect who would be fit for the job. And I've mentioned them before, and I think it's too early to start talking about them. But don't expect it from the Republican Party in general, okay? We have such little time at this break, so I'm going to have to just tell you that we have a big problem on our hands, and it's not going to be solved by the checked pants Republicans. They're not fit to fight the red diaper dopa babies who've taken over this country. The red diaper dopa babies who are running this country off the rails need to be challenged by men who are strong enough to A, see the problem, and B, mention the problem, and C, get in their faces and not be so accommodating. As I've told you 100 times, an oligarchy is an oligarchy is an oligarchy. It doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or Democrat.
Savage.
I think we've run through all of the, we have any more, we have any more dog clips here?
The Italian Greyhound is a greyhound in miniature, is small size, the result of selective breeding. His original role was probably as both a hunter of small game and as a companion. He is luxury loving and extremely affectionate, sometimes to the point of neediness. Being a true hound, he requires exercise and outdoor activities. This is Italian Greyhound, number 8.
There it is. Albany, New York. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I just think this is comical, but I fly to Iraq in 09. Every day the Iranian protests are on TV, every day for 2 weeks. And then, tragically, Michael Jackson died, and the morons in the media stopped covering him there, and it was Michael Jackson for the next 3 weeks. And the revolutionaries had no more coverage, and the Iranians crushed them. So I believe that Michael Jackson's death killed the last Iranian revolution.
Well, what's the excuse now, since there's no headlines to cover up the Iranian attempts at democracy, other than the cowards in the media? Why are we not seeing any cell phone images the way we saw them constantly coming out of Cairo? Could anyone explain that to me?
Chamberlain all over.
Chamberlain in the White House? Chamberlain in the White House? That's very benevolent, by the way, to call him Chamberlain. I wouldn't call Obama Chamberlain. That's really a little on the optimistic side. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Sacramento, KSTE. Stephen, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. This latest Middle East uprising in Egypt and the other countries reminds me a lot of, I'm a Republican, but the first George Bush, the first Iraq war, when Iraq was kicked out of Kuwait, and George Bush wanted the people of Iraq to rise up against Saddam Hussein, and when they did, he didn't back them. That still breaks my heart to this day.
Well, you know, that's an interesting story, and I will go back to the first Gulf War. I think it's an important thing to discuss. I actually was on the side of George Bush, GHW, when he did not go all the way, when he did not decimate the Revolutionary Guard. I thought it was a brilliant strategic maneuver not to do so, because he left a smaller Iraqi army in place. He left Saddam in place, a little much weakened, of course, as a counterbalance to Iran. And it maintained a balance in the Middle East that his idiotic son seemed to have not understood at all. We had a very brilliant group around the first George Bush. Secretary of State at that time was a very brilliant man who's still around. You know who he is, I'm sure. They advised to not take down Saddam. They advised not to destroy the Iraqi military. They advised to leave a smaller Iraqi military in place to serve, as I said, as a counterbalance to Iran. And it kept Iran in place. But then Bush comes along and gung-ho to kill Saddam's sons, destroys the Revolutionary Guard, destroys the Iraqi Air Force. And what do we have today? We have a much enlarged, emboldened Iran, which is meddling around the world, all because of Bush's mistake. Do you understand? That's how I see it. That's one man's opinion. That's one man's opinion. I spelled it out in Liberalism as a Mental Disorder. And at the time, I said this could turn out to be the greatest military blunder in American history. And it turns out I believe I was correct. I didn't want it to be a blunder. I prayed it wouldn't be a blunder, but it's turned out that the Iraqis are not our friends. They have not sent us one barrel of oil. They have not paid reparations for their liberation. In fact, the first oil contracts were given to China. Are you telling me that the treatment of the people in Iraq today is something we should be proud of? I suppose you could say by comparison to the way they're treated in Iran, it's something to be proud of. But you're not going to tell me that there's great freedom in Iraq today. No. So all of that loss, what was it for? All it did was make Persia, the old Persia, come back to life again in a new form. You can call it Iraq, but in fact, it's a gigantic arc of Shia dominance running from Iran through Iraq. And it's all a result of miscalculation by George Bush and his advisors at that time, in my humble opinion. What's your opinion? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let us go to Minnesota. Jolie, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, Michael Savage, I'm so excited to speak with you. I've tried a couple of times and haven't been able to
That's okay. You're on now. What's on your mind?
I appreciate your show so much, and I am totally on board with almost...
Well, I'm mixing politics in with the dog show now because I can only do politics so much, you know, until I burn up.
I know you have... your teddy bear, and now I used to have chocolate brown poodles, and now I have Yorkies, because when my husband is a former member of the U.S. Congress, and we're from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh.
You can probably tell from my voice. But
yes.
Anyway.
Oh, the Yorkie is a wonderful breed. I had a Yorkie. It was unfortunately killed by, it was heartbreaking. I had a Silkie, and then I had a Yorkie. Both of them met early ends. The first one was killed by a Dalmatian right in front of my eyes. I couldn't protect it. The Dalmatian had a mean owner, and it jumped on my dog and bit it right through the chest cavity and killed it. It was dead within minutes. And then the Yorkie I got years later, it died when I left it with friends in Hawaii. It ate a poisonous frog and died. Would you believe it?
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. These wolfhounds, we had a couple of them, and we had a home on the bay on Lake Michigan in Green Bay, and
yeah.
My husband was a TV news anchor. In fact, if you don't mind my bragging, he was the biggest TV news anchor at the time.
Great.
And then he ran for Congress. He had a chance to get in. He always loved politics. But anyway, back to the doggies.
Yes.
Corky was our wolfhound that stayed with us, and Jay included...
Did you say a wolfhound?
In the campaign, an Irish wolfhound, and we made a...
Oh, they're the greatest. I love that dog, but they don't live that long, right? 6-7?
Wolfhounds a couple days ago, or last week, or wherever, when I tried to get in, and...
How long did the wolfhound live?
Only 7.5 years. She got...
Well, that's actually on the outer limits of how long they live. I mean, they're highly inbred animals, and they live 5-6 years. I had a friend in San Francisco who owned an Irish bar, Miles O'Reilly at O'Reilly's. He had a wonderful dog I came to love, Fionn. He was a bar dog. And this dog would lay on the bar floor. Everyone had to step around him. It was such a big dog. One day, it was a summery day in San Francisco. I was sitting outside having a beer. The dog was laying around outside, and something caught that wolfhound's eye. He jumped up. He took off for the corner. I never saw a dog lope with such a long stride as that dog. He was on the corner in like 1, 2, 3 seconds. That dog is an amazing animal.
Well, I am going to try to send you pictures. I'm not quite sure where to send them.
No, it's okay. But what do you have now? What's your favorite dog now?
Well, now, you know, I always love the poodles. And one of my Yorkies is named Teddy Bear.
Oh, like now how many dogs do you have at one time, Jolie?
Ready, I've got to talk to Michael Savage.
But how many dogs do you currently have at this time?
3 Yorkies, and Teddy Bear's the one in the middle, and he's kind of a big Yorkie. Jay would always say before.
So you have 4 dogs?
3 dogs, and Jay would always say, "Well, don't make fun of him because he's just has a big bone structure.
Well, they bring a lot of joy into your life, don't they?
But
thank you very much for that beautiful call. They bring a lot of joy. Just before we go back to the political calls, which we're getting a lot of, obviously, on the show, because we see a disaster brewing in Iran, and this country's doing nothing but paying lip service again to the democracy movement. The very same phonies in the Obama administration and the fakers in the media who were in solidarity with the protesters in Egypt are nowhere to be found. Instead, they're still talking about the Grammys. How come Mr. Tusslehair doesn't fly over there with a flak jacket on and show how brave he is in solidarity with the Iranians? We're seeing no pictures of it. Now, you want to see a country that really deserves democracy? It's Iran. The mullahs and Ahmadinejad are 100 times more dictatorial and 100 times worse than Mubarak ever was. And we're seeing nothing coming out of Tehran to speak of. Believe me, it's a shocker. But if you know how the media and the government work in this country, you wouldn't be as shocked as I am. Kevin, New York, WOR, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Yeah, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to add on. I served in the first full year of the war in Iraq, and I've been saying this for years, what you just said before. It was crazy that we took Saddam. He was not an imminent out of power. He was not an imminent threat to our country.
That's right. He should have been. He should not have been killed by Bush the dummy. His father was 1,000 times smarter with better advisors.
Absolutely. He was the ultimate counterbalance. How can we not take advantage of that, keep taking advantage of it?
I don't know how a guy like Sean Hannity can be such a flack for Republicans that he would kiss the boots of Bush and not once understand what a disaster Bush was for the world order.
But Mike, Michael, when I was over there, they took out, well, a lot of people died, but even my battalion commander, he was killed. He was the highest ranking officer of the war to die. He was at that time, probably still is. He was mm-hmm. Lieutenant Colonel. But you wouldn't mind as much, Dr. Savage, if these people, you know, were so grateful, you know, every day telling you how grateful they are, but they weren't, and it's not worth all the American lives.
No, you want to go back to that point in history. You could even argue that the original Gulf War, went a little too far, by the way. And, of course, it was to liberate Kuwait, if I remember correctly, unless I'm confusing the order of things. He invaded Kuwait, which was, in essence, a province, in his mind, of Iraq. It was also extremely oil-rich. Did the Kuwaitis do anything for us after we liberated those degenerate princes? Did they give us free oil? Did those degenerate royalists in Kuwait ever do anything for this country that was worthy of the sacrifice of men like you?
No, and I've been in that country several times, too.
No, the Kuwaiti degenerates are still up to the degenerate game, and they've given us nothing. Ask yourself why our politicians don't demand it and take it. You know, I had Donald Trump on the show. He said he would take the oil out of it. I would just take it. I would, too. I would take it. I would fight with China and say, look, you're paying a tariff. Come to the bargaining table. We're putting a tax on your goods. Come to the bargaining table. Believe me, they'd be there the next second. As far as Iraq, we're taking the oil to pay back the $1 trillion we spent to liberate you. And if you don't like it, it's too bad. We're taking it. We need the oil right now. We need to balance our budget. I mean, there are things a country of this power can do, and they're not doing it. And you got to ask yourself why. Where's the leadership? This is not a partisan thing. This is a commonsensical thing. Where is the leadership? Where is anyone calling for this? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Is that the judge making those noises?
Yes, it is. He's trying to get some expression, see them move their ears and their eyes and look at him and pay attention.
As a girl, Marguerite Ann Johnson endured trauma and abuse that actually led her to stop speaking. Okay. But as a performer and ultimately...
That's enough of this announcer. I don't want to hear it anymore. I can't take this front man anymore. Here's what's coming out of Iran. Your friends in Iran, all you leftists, are calling for the death and execution of the leaders of the protests. Your friends in Iran want to kill those who are protesting. Our government is talking about the wonders of Maya Angelou. Our president has said nothing to offer the demonstrators in Iran an iota of support. Hillary Clinton, to her credit, has said something, but she mumbled it and didn't talk about the mullahs and the others who are calling for the deaths of the protesters. But they're going to kill them. In fact, in the last uprising, they killed many of them. And Anderson Cooper was nowhere to be seen. He was having his hair blow-dried at the time, I guess. Anyway, it's going on as we talk. And one of the reasons we're not seeing much of it is that foreign journalists are being denied visas. Journalists living in Iran are restricted from covering the demonstrations. And internet speeds have slowed to a crawl in an attempt to limit protest organizing and restrict information from being transmitted out of the nation of Iran. This country has the power to do something about it, and they're doing nothing. Listen to Iranian legislators, so-called, these murderous Islamists, calling for the death of the opposition in Iran. Let's hear it. Okay, that's the sound of radical Islamists in Iran calling for the death of Muslims who would like a little freedom. The throwbacks from the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, take your choice, century, who have hijacked Iran, stolen Iran, taken a once great nation, and destroyed it with their religious fanaticism, are now trying to kill the young people of Iran, and it's a shame that we have a president who has nothing to say with an issue so important. And that is why I'm focusing on dogs, because it gets me heartbroken, frankly, if I focus on this a little too long. So let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Las Vegas, Jack, you're on the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hey, one dog you were talking about earlier, the war dog, I believe you're thinking of a Neapolitan Mastiff.
A Neapolitan Mastiff, incredible animal.
I've had three Mastiffs, and I lost probably the best dog I've ever had just a couple of weeks ago, and it was a fantastic dog. And
how long do they live, those big dogs?
This one I got 11 years out of her, but that's old. They don't usually go that long. And this
they don't. It's true that big dogs don't live as long as small ones, right?
No, they don't. But this was
why is that?
I wish I knew. What a fine animal. This was a dog.
I hope it's the same. I hope it's true for men as well.
Yeah, me too. What a great dog. I mean, this dog would have laid down her life. I guarantee, I'm 100% sure for myself.
So as a pet in the house, you used it for security as well?
Yeah, it just comes natural to a dog like that, but you don't...
Was she friendly to you, obviously, but to children?
Friendly, loved kids. Anybody I let in the house, she was fine. But, God help somebody that was not invited into the house.
Oh, my God. So God forbid for them, you're saying someone tried to break in, they tear them to pieces.
But
how much did she weigh? What size did these dogs grow to?
I always had females, and I had a bull mastiff. This last one was a French mastiff, which is the Dogue de Bordeaux. They're about 105, 110 pounds for the females.
But what is the biggest guard dog that in the world? What is the heaviest, the biggest?
Well, the biggest mastiff generally, I think, is the English mastiff, but they're not great guard dogs. They're a little too docile, I think.
Well, they're like England today. England itself is like that. They're big with big teeth, and they can't protect themselves.
Right. I mean, I think a good size is 100 to 105 pounds for the females. You know, males run a little bit bigger. They're about 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But they're solid.
I've always wanted them, but the thing is I can't take care of them. Do you have a large property?
Not really, and that's the thing I was saying is that you don't really need it for a mastiff. They don't like to run. They're lazy.
Oh. I mean, they're happy to just lay around and take a short. So my kind of guy. I mean, that's not a bad dog to have.
They're low energy. That's why I like them. They're not hyper. They're not over.
Oh, well, maybe there's something to be said for them. I get one of those guys. But I know with the laws today, to walk behind them and pick it up, I don't have the stomach for that.
Yeah, they're gentle and they're low key, low energy, but tremendous. That's why I'm on my third mastiff now. I have a dog called a South African mastiff.
Well, a lot of people feel that way, that only big dogs are real dogs and the little dogs are fake, But, it's not true in that regard. I met a woman who raised wolfhounds, and she said she had a 20-acre farm in Oregon, and she said she has big dogs and little dogs because they live different age groups. The big dogs die so young, and the little guys go on forever.
I had a great giant schnauzer, and it came from Sebastopol, which I believe is up kind of by you.
Yeah, right. A schnauzer?
Schnauzer, 125 pounds.
What?
Giant schnauzer.
Oh, my goodness. I never heard of them. Well, good luck with your guard dogs out there in Las Vegas. Interesting like that. Does anyone know what the biggest guard dog is in the breed? What is the biggest breed? That guy was weird, by the way, the announcer. I thought he had a tick. He reminded me, you know, he had a tick with that sound. Did you hear that sound that he was making all night during the show? The play clip four again if you didn't watch the Westminster Kennel Club show last night.
Is that the judge making those noises?
Yes, it is. He's trying to get some expression, see them.
Okay, these guys were great. I mean, the announcers for the Westminster Kennel Club were as good as the American Test Kitchen for food, which I watch once in a while. I don't like their food. It's all heavy. But okay, I think we've had a good thing with dogs and Iran. No one's covering, and no one seems to be interested in Iran and the attempts at democracy. It's a shame to think that these people would talk about having their hair mussed up in Cairo and have nothing to say about what's going on in Iran, where the so-called lawmakers are calling for the execution of those who want to be free. That's it for the Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the topics today on the Savage Nation. Going to the dogs, we're talking about the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show from New York City. It was beautiful last night. What a relief. No cursing, no guns, no injected lips from Beverly Hills. What kind of dog breed is your favorite? What do you enjoy watching more, dog shows or The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? What about the dog owners? Why were they such dogs? Ripped stockings? Scuffed shoes? I mean, can't they do a little better and get professional models to march these gorgeous animals around? It's an interesting phenomenon that so many unattractive people have such beautiful animals. But then again, I understand it. Look at me and Teddy. Then we're going to talk today about the Medal of Freedom. Today, Mr. Obama awarded George H.W. Bush the Medal of Freedom today. That's interesting. It just shows you that the Democrat and Republican parties are really two heads of the same beast, Republicrats, Demicans. Did George H.W. Bush deserve the Medal of Freedom? How about the fake poet Maya Angelou, the favorite of the American left? She deserved the Medal of Freedom? Who do you think really deserves a Medal of Freedom other than me, Michael Savage, having put up with what I put up with? And, of course, the Middle East. Did you hear about this in Egypt, that they raped and brutalized a female CBS reporter? Oh, that was hidden up by Anderson Cooper. Didn't report on that. He talked about his hair getting mussed up. His hair was being mussed up while they were raping her. But then again, you know, the priorities of guys like Anderson Cooper, where they're at. Today, the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt announced they're forming a political party, as I told you they would. To participate in the upcoming elections, Muslim Brotherhood, anyone? The same gang that killed Anwar Sadat? The same gang that wants to cut off hands? At the same time, their counterparts in Iran, members of the Iranian legislature, are screaming for the deaths of any of those calling for democracy in Iran. And where's Hillary Clinton? Where's Obama? Oh, they muttered a few words here and there, but it got lost in the clutter. Who do you think is going to wind up controlling Egypt? The Muslim Brotherhood or the military? And which nation will be next to fall to the Islamofascists is the real question. Because there's an awful lot of them, you know, really an awful lot of them. Many, many other stories on the Savage Nation today, and they're all to be found on michaelsavage.com. I think one of the most important is, if you go to my website, I swear, when I found this story early today, I said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. It's getting crazier by the day. crazier by the day. The useless city council of Berkeley, California, wants to welcome with open arms those prisoners released from Guantanamo Bay. Can you believe this? That's right. We have our own Muslim Brotherhood here. It's called the Liberal Brotherhood, or shall I say the Liberal Sisterhood, which is now one of the most potent anti-American groups in the United States of America, welcoming known terrorists to the United States of America. You talk about a perfect storm. How about our intelligence community? Did you see that story? Intelligence breakdown, major story from the New York Post. Leon Panetta getting the Egyptians thing wrong. Then it was Panetta's nominal boss, Director of National Intelligence, so-called James Clapper, telling Congress that the violent pro-jihad Muslim Brotherhood is largely secular and has given up violence. As someone said, can anybody here play this game? The CIA? All those billions and billions of dollars? They didn't even see the Fort Hood massacre coming. They've still covered that one up. How about the deaths of seven CIA agents and contractors in Afghanistan in a security lap suicide bombing? How about the Times Square near miss? This is the CIA at work. This is Clapper at work. This is Panchetta at work. These are the appointments of Obama at work. We call it an intelligence breakdown. And what are the terrorists planning? Have you been told that the CIA warned us today that there's a 100% chance? I didn't say 90, I didn't say 50, I didn't say 60. The CIA has said there's a 100% chance that we're going to be hit in this country by a major attack. You hear? Then what the hell are we paying them for? What do they do? I don't understand it. And for those of you who are oh so in love with Islam, Malaysia has arrested 100 Muslim couples for celebrating Valentine's Day. Martial law in Egypt, Fox and CNN silent. So many other stories, I can't read them all. Why did a reporter slur her words at the Grammys? No one's answering that. Breitbart sued by former Fed employee. Stalker trial looms for JFK granddaughter, whatever that is. Rumsfeld is blasting Obama for undermining UK-US relations. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. The Islamic uprisings are spreading now in Yemen. Somali Muslim pirates are holding 700 hostages, and the shippers are asking the Royal Navy for help. Now, rum in the lash, huh? Rum in the lash. How about the bullet train to nowhere that Obama wants to spend $8 billion on? Have you seen that one? How about a weapon of mass effect claimed to have been found by partner agencies in the United States by a San Diego port director? Did you see that story? It's all on michaelsavage.com. Don't miss these or any other stories.
Savage.
I watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for the first time, flipping between channels while waiting for my favorite military history program to go on later on in the day. I just couldn't believe it. It got so bad I had to run out of the house and go to Latin music. In Sausalito, California, there's a great place with live music. I had to go to something real. There's some Cuban musicians playing. And since it was early enough in the day, usually these dances don't start till 10 and I don't go. I mean, I grew up on Latin music in New York. I love it, but it's too late for me. I don't know how people go to these dances 10 o'clock at night and go to work the next day. Of course, looking at the work ethic in America, I do know how. But nevertheless, I went and it was great to see people who could actually play instruments, you know. But I'm asking a question. Where is the coverage of the dictatorship that has emerged in Egypt? Answer, nowhere. Now that the vermin in the media, especially the twin hysterics, Shepard Smith and Anderson Cooper, have moved off the story, there's no coverage whatsoever. The cameras have gone home. They all flew back to be in time for the Grammys. In fact, they had to time the revolution. The reason Mubarak left last Friday was that the Grammys were Sunday night and that the networks had to get the so-called stars back to L.A. on time for the Grammys. And so the army was brought in time to make certain that they could be back in time for the Grammys. But there's no coverage, absolutely no coverage. Martial law has been imposed, and you don't know anything about it. Instead, we've moved on to Lady Gaga. But I want to create a new calendar, the Viagra calendar. Like the Jewish people have a lunar calendar or solar calendar. I don't know what it is, a 5793. I never understood that. When I was 10 years old, I'd go and it's like, it's the year 5000. What do you mean 5000? I'm 11 years old. How can it be the year 5000? I was born in 1942. What do you mean that's 1953? What do you mean it's the year 5000? I didn't understand that. It was so out of touch with everything. What's with this solar calendar, lunar calendar? It makes as much sense to me as a Viagra calendar. If Viagra was introduced in 1998, it means that in the year 1980, we were 18 BV. So you date back to when you were born, and you just go back from 1998, and you know when you were born, BV, before Viagra, would change the world. Where 65-year-old men can marry 20-year-old women and think that they like them. So in the year 2011, we're actually in the year 13 AV after Viagra. Changed everything on the earth. Between that and hair transplants, the world is not the same place. Believe me. Lance in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you asked earlier why anyone would listen to you. Well, it's because of content, substance.
Yeah, but I'm not giving you real substance today. I can't do it. I mean, aside from my barb that the Egyptian Revolution had to end on time in order to get Shepard Smith back, in order to get the reporters back in time for the Grammys was funny, but it's almost a degree of truth in it.
Well,
it's boring. I mean, I don't want to be boring. Everyone's bored now because it's like February. This is a terrible. February is probably the worst month of the year when you think about it. You got endless months of disgusting slush in the winter, number one. No holidays to look forward to. Nothing. It's horrible. It's grim. Today's Valentine's Day. That's a great holiday. Shows you how threatened those little men with beards are in Malaysia. They want to ban Valentine. They're warning people not to celebrate Valentine's Day in Malaysia. How does that threaten Muslims, Valentine's Day? A simple holiday like that? To take a girl out for a meal and a tiramisu and a glass of wine, that's a threat to them? I don't understand that, truthfully. New York, WOR Mia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I'm thinking that the reason why the media has stopped talking about Egypt is because Obama couldn't get the Muslim Brotherhood into place fast enough because he seems to be chomping at the bit to do something with them, and God forbid he would make them as maybe some kind of seedling group.
Well, how come Obama has nothing to say about the people who are trying to have democracy in Iran? Where is Hillary Clinton now that we don't need her? Where is Obama now that they need him? Why isn't he saying we're with you people and we're in favor of democracy? How come he hasn't said one word about the Iranian democracy movement that's going on as we speak, while they're being tear gassed, beaten up and arrested in Iran? Why do we hear nothing about it from the great Obama and the other minions of Saul Alinsky?
Well, maybe we will as soon as the Muslim Brotherhood is brought up. Maybe he'll get interested.
No, well, the Muslim Brotherhood runs Iran in another form. It's called the mullahs. They're the Muslim Brotherhood on steroids.
Right.
Okay. See, but people, see, it's another way to look at this question, which is say, oh, you right-wingers are all wrong. You're warning us that if Mubarak left, the Muslim Brotherhood would step in Egypt. What you don't know, or most of those people don't know, is history, which is that the Iranian Islamic Revolution did not occur the day after the Shah was driven out of Iran by Jimmy Carter and Walter Cronkite. The Iranian mullahs appeared on the scene thereafter, but not immediately thereafter, and the Iranian Muslim Revolution, the radical Muslim revolution in Iran, occurred 9 months to a year later, which is what's going to happen in Egypt. But the vermin in the media will not be on that story at that time, Mia. Thank you for the call. That's too much already, pushing ahead. Because I'm in the year 2011, which is 13 AV after Viagra. If I'm pushing ahead to 2012, which is the election year, that's going to be 14 AV. We don't know whether Obama's going to be reelected in 14 AV. We have to wait and see. For me, it's hard enough to even talk to the dog lately. I don't even want to talk to Teddy anymore. Becoming very withdrawn. I don't know what's going on with me. The world is so horrible under Obama. It is so incredibly bad. The man has so wrecked the world that I know to be existent. I don't like want to talk to the dog anymore. I don't even find him cute anymore. So it's just like a dog now. It's like, okay, all right, I'll let you out. All right, here's your food. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to get angry, but it's enough already. Sorry, the cute stuff doesn't work anymore. Come home, jump for joy. All right, it's nice. Okay, it's enough. Calm down. Stop jumping now. It's okay. What is that? That's not depression. It's reality. The guy's wrecked the economy. The national debt equals our GDP. And he's spending more money than anyone knows he is spending. And no one will stop the man. He's like King Ludwig II. And no one says to him, you're a lunatic. You're destroying our country. You're destroying the military. You're destroying the world. Stop him. No one. Instead, the schmuck Republicans, you think they really care? Are you kidding me? They satisfy their constituents the way the the comm dems satisfy theirs. That's why you're not hearing anything. So you threw 100 communists out in November, and you thought, what would happen? What? You thought you'd have a change? Yeah, the same change you had when that Scott, whatever his name is, from Massachusetts took Kennedy's seat. I was the only one in the media who saw through him. So here we are. And where is this going to lead is the question. We're bankrupt already. Every country's saying, let's get off the dollar standard. It scares the heck out of me. Every country in the world wants to be off the dollar standard. What, do they want to go on the franc? They're going to go on the yen? What currency are they going to go on? The euro? What, with Greece and Ireland bankrupt, we're going to go on the euro? No. I'm going to go on the Chinese currency? Are you crazy? It's an invented fake currency to begin with. It's all propped up out of nowhere by the dictators of China. So that's why I'm focusing on Lady Gaga and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Since I had dental surgery on Friday, I didn't really have anything to talk about with the food. I have to eat on the left side of my mouth. Horrible. You have to train yourself to eat. I had an implant put it on the right side of my mouth, so I can't eat on that side of my mouth for like 6 months now. How do you eat on one side of your head? It's crazy. It's like you got to talk to yourself. Don't move it over there. You know what I mean? It's like you're eating on the left side of your head, and you have to remember with every bite, you're getting too close to the center now, Mike. Move it back. Push your tongue. Use your tongue now. Push it back over to the left side. If any of the food migrates near the right side, I go into like a panic attack. The tooth implant. I've outlived my teeth. That's good. I guess that's the modern thing. My father died. So that's the whole thing. The generations change. Like in the old days, if you died at 30. Well, Alexander the Great died in his 30s. He probably had all his teeth, except maybe he lost some in a battle. All his hair, all his teeth. He didn't need Viagra, he didn't need Propecia, he didn't need hair implant, he didn't need a dentist, nothing. Died in combat at 31. But now, with modern medicine, we're outliving all of these body parts. So the teeth go, but you're still alive. It's better. I mean, it's better than a heart attack or cancer, to be honest with you, but still in all, it has its own challenges. So as I say, I have to eat on the left side of my mouth for 6 months. It's like a sentence. Every bite, I have to be conscious of it now. What food to eat, what not to eat. I mean, it's unbelievable. And if I find myself talking, don't let it migrate. You're getting close to the center line, Mike. Move it back over. It's unbelievable to me. What a challenge that is. And the right side of my face is like jealous. It's starving. The whole right side of my head is like starving to death now. The left side's getting fat and the right side's getting thin. I don't understand how that works. Come on. I'm just in a jokey mood. I'm so tired of the news. I'm so sick of the people in the media, what they did to this world. Who do you think destroyed the world? The news media. It's the news media destroyed everything. It's those rats in the media. They destroyed the world. They destroyed everything. They destroyed all family values. They destroyed the educational system. They destroyed women. They destroyed men's sense of dignity. Everything in the world that has been destroyed by the American media. Do you understand that? So I'm doing a light take on this today. Don't really get me started.
Savage.
This normal fashion should be banned from Britain. Not my man Michael Savage, you gotta be kidding. My name is High Caliber, and yes, I'm a Christian, and I won't stop spitting till these politicians listen. We gotta stop the mental disorder, liberalism. So I'll pick apart these progressive punks with precision. The enemy within practices communism, while these Islamic terrorists kill innocent victims. It leaves my heart broken like the immigration system. Just look at the population of the federal prisons. Here is wisdom, borders, language, culture. Don't listen to the vermin in the media.
Look, you've heard me go on and on about today's music, particularly rap music, and how it's mostly misogynistic, mindless, violent. Occasionally we're going to hear a performer who breaks the stereotype. You just heard a little part of a song entitled Trickle Up Poverty by High Caliber. He joins us now in the Savage Nation. Hey, High Caliber, welcome to the Savage Nation. This subject, Trickle Up Poverty, isn't the typical rap subject. How come you did it?
Well, first of all, let me start by saying, Dr. Savage, what an honor and privilege it is to be on the greatest talk show in the nation. I know what a big fan you are of rap music, so I'm honored to be here speaking out for conservative hip-hop. And I like to label it conservative hip-hop, and I'll tell you why. Rap and Republican, that's something you do. You know, rap is something you do. Republican is something you vote. conservatism and hip-hop are cultures and ways of life. And that's why my partner and I sacrifice. Together we make up the group Enemy of the State. We decided that, you know, instead of rapping about busting our guns at the police and selling crack and slapping women and pimping and hoes and all that intelligence stuff, you know, to use our passion for politics and our conservative nature to, you know, try to spread the message to the youth. Because as my partner Sacrifice is constantly talking about, what are we going to do with the 16 and 17-year-olds right now that are going to be eligible to vote for Obama in 2 years? You know what I mean? He already has those votes hemmed up unless somebody steps in and does something. And I don't think Fox News can speak really to the youth. So you could call it our youth initiative, I guess.
Have you gotten any feedback from the general public?
Oh, wow. We get real positive feedback. We get called crackers, white devils, racists. We get called anti-American for rapping about loving America and rapping about stuff like the Constitution, the Declaration, you know, patriotic things. You know, the typical vitriol that the left always exhibits, that's what we get hit with. You guys are scumbags. It's like if we were rapping about how cool we were and how fancy our chain was and how we drove a $100,000 car, we'd probably be millionaires already. But unfortunately, we chose a different route.
What about the music industry?
Oh, very hard. I mean, we've been ostracized something terrible. You know, without the Tea Party movement right now, we'd really have no venue for which, you know, any stages to perform on. You know, we just recently performed at CPAC. The performance went well. The turnout wasn't as well because we were up against Tim Pawlenty and a couple other big names. Yeah, the music industry hasn't received us that well because, you know, we're not the typical left-wing Hollywood type.
What's been the most surprising reactions?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, on the flip side, we've got great reaction from people at venues we've done that, you know, that you would never consider to be someone that would listen to hip-hop whatsoever. You know, I've had 60-year-old white ladies come up to me at tea parties and go, "You're amazing. I never thought I'd like rap music. You know, everything you say I agree with, and it's so positive, and it's such a refreshing change." So, I mean, it's basically like we've been preaching to the choir. Now comes the difficult task of reaching people who are already brainwashed by the left-wing media and all the negative stereotypes that, you know, all the other rappers put out. Because what it is with hip-hop music, I'd say about 85% of rappers are, you know, either some sort of gangster category, braggadocious, just total negativity. And the other 15% who are labeled conscious rappers because they don't rap about shooting cops. They do rap about getting off the corners and, you know, respecting women and positive things. They're actually more detrimental because their politics are to the left of communism.
Well, is it getting any easier?
It's just getting tougher day by day, honestly. Since we launched this recent endeavor, my group, Enemy of the State, we're dropping an album called Hate Speech, which is just so aptly named because that's what the left is going to call it anyway, so we figured we'd beat them to the punch.
Where can listeners find your music?
Well, the Hate Speech album isn't available yet. It's 3/4 of the way done. We have 3 more tracks to record. But the track you heard, Trickle Up Poverty, and we have another track called Nuff Money, which is featuring, we call him MC Barry O, because we sampled Barack Obama's voice for part of the hook. It's pretty good. You'll get a kick out of it. Those are available on iTunes, Amazon.com, you know, pretty much any of those sites. Also, if you look up, I have a couple solo tracks under High Caliber. That's HI-Caliber. Got a couple tracks on iTunes and Amazon as well. A song called Revolution 2.0 and a song called Freedom. Not the typical titles you expect from a rap song, but, you know, it is what it is.
Are there more conservative artists coming out now?
We're definitely out and about in public. I wouldn't say so much in the genre of rap music, but, you know, the event we did at CPAC was called Liberty Fest, and you had everything from a conservative comedian, a conservative country singer, Lisa Norton, a conservative folk singer, Chris Cassone, you know, R&B singer, you know, motivational speaker, Robert Allen Mansfield, who's actually our DJ for Enemy of the State. You know, there is a movement being started. I mean, you won't hear about it on the Channel 2, 4, 7, you know, the mainstream media. You won't see it on the news every night, but we're out there, man, and we're plugging it, and we're battling the left-wing media, and we're trying to do what we can, man.
Well, where do you think it goes from here?
Wow. Hopefully platinum records. You know, hopefully we can get on a nationwide tour and bring our message to, you know, the other end of the country. Pretty much primarily we've been doing events in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, D.C. area. You know, hopefully we can just spread our message, you know, nationwide and let people know that, you know, conservative hip-hop is here to stay.
Any media outlets paying any attention to you other than the Savage Nation?
Well, Fox News has given us a little bit of credence. We were on the Fox Strategy Room with good old Alan Combs a while back. You know, but basically aside from that, it's just been talk radio. Monica Crowley's been a huge supporter of me and my music and our music. You know, just pretty much talk radio and just, you know, the internet. And the internet, I don't know where we'd be without the internet. You know, a lot of Tea Party organizers and stuff, you know, circulate our music. That's how we've booked a lot of Tea Party gigs, you know, through word of mouth on the internet. Hey, you got to check these guys out. You know, they do conservative hip-hop. They're really good, you know. And I had a quick story for you that I know only you would appreciate. A few months ago, you were preempted by college basketball. I don't know who sits glued to the radio listening to college basketball, but whatever. So to satisfy my talk radio addiction, I tuned into The Hem, listened to The Hem Roy Ladeer Show, and wouldn't you know it, that Lieutenant Colonel Alan West was on there, and he said, you know what, I think we need to get back to Borders, Language, and Culture.
Really?
I could see The Hem's jaw drop right over the air, man. And I cracked up, and I thought of you. I wanted to call your show and let you know what just happened, but I couldn't get through.
Hi, Caliber. Thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Well, Dr. Savage, thanks again for having me. Once again, it's High Caliber, H-I-Caliber, with Sacrifice and our producer, G-Nut, and together we make up Enemy of the State.
This is the Savage Nation.
Trickle up poverty, walk around New England seeing Nathan Hill's ghost. Used to ride a Schlin, Tony Quinn in the spokes. Never worry about perverts, I'm medical dope. What? Political outcomes determined by the unions. Vermin, yeah. Quote, Mao Zedong, it's all communist. Sacrificed 6 years ago who Obama is. Chicago Street thugonomic, Karl Marx politics. Peter Pan, Lenin, before your car.
Savage. Open it up to anything. Give me some rock and roll. Let's do. Do you have The Great Pretender by The Platters? I heard it the other night. I really loved it. I was in a very sad, depressed mood. I was alone. I go into these moods in and out. I admit it. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, it gets back to something. You got it. Look at that. Oh, the bouncing Prozac pill. Follow it along the bottom of the radio speaker. The bouncing Prozac pill.
Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Ooh.
Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone.
Great song, actually, to be honest with you. Anyway, turn it on. It's my own thing. But so I'm getting into one of those moods, and I decide to have a couple of drinks by myself, which I did. And I had a couple of drinks, and, you know, the mood went away. But the thing I'm telling you is that life sucks. And once you accept that life sucks, it becomes easier to deal with. And that's why there's so much weakness in America, is because we're deluded into thinking that we're supposed to be happy, and everyone else is happy, and you're the only one who's feeling lonely, or you're feeling life's burdens and no one else, and you look at the ads every minute, there's a ha-ha and a ho-ho and a hee and it, and the media continuously drives this concept that everyone else is having a great time except you. You're the only one having a miserable time. But in fact, this is what life is. And a lot of it is the fact that you were raised, if you're a person under 45, you were probably raised in a Spockian, you know, nightmare where you were told that life is pleasant, life is easy, life is good. And maybe it is for you. You know, maybe you're a lucky person. You'd be the exception. You're not the norm. For most people, life is a grind. Life is a bore and life is difficult and life sucks. And there is no happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is transient. Happiness exists here and there. You have moments of happiness, whatever they may be for you. I don't know what they are. The birth of a child, the wedding of your daughter. I don't know what the hell. Walking your child, seeing the kid in the graduation hat. Whatever it is, I don't know, getting a promotion, seeing a book published. There are small moments, but basically it's a flat line of difficulty for the average person. Then you get sick and you suffer, and then you die a horrible death, usually alone in a home or in a hospital. And once you accept that that's the terms, that's the deal, that's it. It isn't that bad when you realize what people have suffered through the ages. So what you have to do is toughen yourself up, and you have to learn that life is not the delusion that if only there was another elected official out there who gave you free medical care, if he gave you prescription drugs, you'd be happy if you had prescription drugs. If only you had more prescription drugs, more crutches from the government, then you'd be happy. Then you got to pray a lot. I mean, you got to go back to the holy books that your fathers or grandfathers, you're only probably, no matter who you are, let's say your hair is green and you got 18 nose rings and nipple rings and this ring and that ring, and you're running around in L.A. twinkling around thinking you're free, you're free, you're free. I don't hear freedom. I hear slavery. The more I hear those rings rattle, the more I know you're a slave. You're probably only two generations at most away from a very religious person in your family. Max, two generations. The most. Someone who actually believed in the Word of God and went to church or synagogue. And you may find that, you know, is the way to go. You know, what I found is that there's no single way to go in my own case. It doesn't work for you. It works for me. You got to do an awful lot of different things. Exercise, vitamins, eat right, know how to control yourself, know where to get your pleasure, know where not to get your pleasure. You got to pray. You got to believe in God. You know, everything is part of the whole. There's no single path for the modern man. There's no simple solution for it all. In other words, you just got to deal with life's burdens. Or else, what are you going to do? What, are you going to kill yourself? Well, okay. So, it is related to politics, what I'm saying to you. We're living in a delusional nation. Everything is fantasy. We all watch too much TV, too many movies. I myself do. I admit it. I don't know how much of what how many movies I've watched. If I could redo one thing in my life, I would never have watched movies or television in my life. I can't imagine life without it. I've been brainwashed since I'm a child. Remember, I'm born in the television age. Would you believe I go back to a time before there was television? Can you believe that? That's amazing. But I remember living in a time when there was no television in a house. There was only a radio. We would sit around and listen to the radio. I'd lie on my father's lap. He'd smoke Philip Morris, God rest his soul. And we'd listen to shows like The Green Hornet and whatever. And you had to use your imagination. When you listen to radio as a child, this is why I'm so talented in radio, because I grew up on radio. Don't you understand there's a difference? It's not that there are people who are younger than me who can't do radio, but my father used to explain to me that radio was actually a better medium. He used to say to me, I like radio better. I said, why, Dad? Because you have to use your imagination. I said, oh, okay. So he taught me how to use my imagination. Not that it was too hard for me to do so. There was so much tragedy in my youth that I learned to live in a fantasy world. I created my own fantasy world in order to overcome the tragedy of my childhood. But that's good. That is good. That's what creative people do. They create with their sadness. They create with their misery. They don't succumb to a drug. Don't you understand that? That when you suppress sadness, when you suppress loneliness, when you keep suppressing these things with drugs, you're killing yourself. It's a small death. It's a petite mort. You know what I'm saying? Le petite mort. But it's not even the pleasure of the petite mort. Play the Green Hornet for the audience. They don't know what I'm talking about.
He hunts the biggest of all games. Public enemies who try to destroy our America.
I turned it off. This is horrible. Bad radio. What is this now? Many of you don't know how to raise children. You need me to tell you. You do. Many of you don't have a parent. You don't have a father. You don't have an uncle. You have no one to rely upon. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how to turn. And I'm telling you that this coddling stuff, I'm not saying hit your kid. Don't get me wrong. I'm not giving you that advice. But you got to teach your child reality. And you got to teach your child that life is not a bowl of cherries. You got to teach them that life needs to be that life is hard. Life is going to leave you alone a lot. You got to teach your child to be alone a lot. Did you know that? You know you got to teach your child how to be alone a lot in order to be alone a lot, because he's going to be alone a lot when he grows up. Did you hear what I just said? We don't live in a commune. He's not going to live in Ding Dong School the rest of his life. Teach your child how to be alone. I remember when my first child was a baby, I didn't know how to raise an infant, so I turned to various cultures for advice. I mean, I was an anthropologist at the time, and I was immersing myself in Native American, everything I could read on tribal lore. I read South Pacific, this and that. But one of the things I read was how the Native Americans, some of the tribes, raised their young sons to be tough, basically. And when the young baby, if it was a boy baby, started to cry, they'd wrap the baby in a papoose and then put the papoose out on a tree outside the teepee until the baby screamed and cried till he didn't scream anymore. I read that. Now, of course, today the Child Protective Service is the ones that will not go to the home of a talk show host who imagined doing his own daughter and the son's friends, allegedly. The same CPS run by the hippopotamuses in Child Protective Services, the mean-faced, clipped-haired hippos who run these agencies, would, of course, arrest a Native American who did that today. But it was a pretty good idea. In other words, a child will cry and cry and cry. You raised your son a little bit more like that, and then you watched a few shows on the Spetsnaz training for the Russian Special Forces and see how tough these guys are compared to even our toughest of tough. In other words, what they do in the Special Forces in Russia to train their men, you couldn't do here in America. They consider what the Russian Special Forces do to each other makes waterboarding look like a picnic on Sunday. But don't tell that to Obama. What they do to each other in training, they punch each other in the nose. There are no teeth guards. There are no nose guards. They beat each other up. And if the guy can't handle it, they throw him out of the Russian Special Forces. Here, right away, Obama would break down the Marine training or the Special Forces training, saying it's a little too rough, okay? Now you understand where we're at? When we have Marines who actually are trained to hunt and kill and go out and hunt and kill like they've been trained to do as kids, and that's why they're tough enough to go into the U.S. Marines, and they do the job they were trained to do.
Savage.